One week ago, a beautiful 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia was barbarically attacked, almost unrecognizable, while she was out on her morning run. She was a morning run. She was doing a keep herself in shape. She was a beautiful young woman. She was a great person, best nursing student there was. I spoke to her parents yesterday. They're incredible people. They're devastated beyond belief. But she was beautiful, just so beautiful in so many ways, and brutally assaulted, horrifically beaten, kidnapped, and savagely murdered. The monster that charged in the death is an illegal alien migrant who was led into our country and released into our communities by crooked Joe Biden. He's crooked. I took the name away from Hillary because she's no longer relevant, I guess. She was terrible, but what he is doing is just unbelievable. Joe Biden will never say Lake and Riley's name, but we will say it and we will remember it. We're not going to forget her. It's been just a horrible story that we've had to live with for the last few days. It's hard to believe. And her parents are just, they can never be the same.
The Hillary comment was kind of funny, but those were good remarks from the former president. That was when he came to Shelby Park at Eagle Pass. I keep wanting to say Shelby Pass at Eagle Park. I don't know how many times I've had to stop myself from doing that, even though it's, you know, it's Eagle Pass. It's the most, well, I mean, one of them, actually, I think it was the most crossed area there in the southern. Well, it was until, you know, we had these force multipliers that were put up and we, you know, started, and by we, I mean, you know, Texas governor started doing all this other stuff to make sure that, you know, people need to stop crossing into the country illegally and doing all those things. And that, you know, it was super, it contributed to a massive decrease in the number of people who were coming across. And so it's just weird because they went to such different areas. And I think there's such different optics. Welcome to the program. Thank God it's Friday. Dana Loesch here with you. It's been a week. Dana Loesch here with you. You can listen coast to coast. And you can stream the radio program, the video component as well over at Channel 347, DirecTV, all that good stuff. We're going to get all of it and bring you, you know, we'll have all the latest for you. If you get the newsletter too, obviously, if you are a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, you can get that newsletter and all good stuff comes out, like the news we're talking about during the day, all this. So the border. Did you guys, I had retweeted this out. Did you guys see, and I'm actually trying to pull this up right now. I have it saved in my note system, but I had tweeted this video out. Did you guys see the video of Biden walking around with border agents? I don't think they showed a lot of it on cable news. And I don't know if you guys saw it or not. He was at a secure part of the border, and he was walking around with Border Patrol, and he looks so bad. They're walking really slow, and he was hanging on to one of the Border Patrol agents, kind of hanging onto his back, and there was another Border Patrol agent walking next to him, and you could tell, and I was particularly watching the woman that was walking on one side of him. You could tell that they were nervous about him walking on this, because he's walking on a gravel road and there's some big rocks and stuff on there. You could tell that they were really nervous about that. And he keeps grabbing onto that border agent. And he's trying to mask it like they're talking. You got one Secret Service agent behind him. They're walking and meeting some other elected officials. He is shuffling along and he's kind of dragging one of his legs, I think anyway. If you look at it, his right leg is way different than the way he's bringing it forward is way different. This is where I play a doc, but you can see it. I mean, we've all had people in our families that have had strokes. We've seen this. Don't sit here and tell yourself that you're not seeing what you're seeing. Guys, he looks bad as hell. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to alarm you. If I was a Democrat, I would be defecating my britches right now. He looks so bad. Oh my gosh. Kane, look at the video and tell me that he does not look bad.
No, it's definitely something you would be concerned.
Look
if
at
you
his
saw
leg.
That.
Am I making that up when I look at how he
no,
moves?
No, if you saw that
leg?
In a family member, you would be concerned. Like
you've,
genuine.
You've
concern.
Seen people who've recovered from strokes.
Yeah,
and you've seen them like regain their motor
yeah.
functions.
And you can see when he lands on that right foot how he favors that, and it. It's either, like you said, I'm not a doctor.
And he keeps, I don't know who he's saluting there either. He keeps grabbing the I don't want to say bald. I don't say that, for him to be me. I mean, the guy's, he's got a Billy Zane do. But he keeps kind of grabbing onto him. And there were a couple, I think he grabbed onto him again in the video that Juan's showing you right there in the simulcast. And the woman that's two Bidens left. She keeps kind of looking, she's kind of walking to hurt him, towards the, because he's, it's just weird. This looks so bad. This looks so bad.
This is the guy that does more in 1 hour than most of us do.
Well,
all
he's
day.
He's super fit, is what they told us, right?
KJP said.
Yeah, they said he's super fit. He's
fit for just duty. The way. Right?
Fit for yeah, duty. Fit for duty. It, guys, it looks so bad, right? I keep looking at this. I've watched this 5,000 times already. I would be using this as propaganda. If I was in enemy state, I would use it as propaganda. I can see why they didn't release a lot of video of this. I can see why they didn't have it on cable news, how he was, walking around. And I mean, it's bad. And listening to these lawmakers, KJP had, she was in her press conference, the press avail yesterday. Was saying once again, this is, the Republicans, because she was asked by the press about Biden's trip to the border and what he hoped it accomplished. And, why is there anything that he could do in the meantime? And she's like, no, there's absolutely nothing he could do in the meantime. It's just, it's the way it is. Nothing he could do. But she kept saying it was congressional action. It's the House. That's what the House can do. But nobody believes that because Biden had all of these executive orders previously where he just was able to undo the Remain in Mexico, a million other things. He was able to do a million other things. So what is it? But she keeps saying, no, it's just the congressional Republicans. If Joe Biden wanted to do it, he'd do it immediately with an EO. Immediately. It wouldn't even be an issue. He would do exactly what Trump did. See, this is where you can criticize Biden, but because people were critical of Trump only doing an executive order. People were saying, okay, you can't just do EOs on this stuff because if you're you need to shepherd it through Congress. You need to lead it through Congress. You got to shepherd it through. You have to really, weigh in and push on these lawmakers in order to get this passed. And because he used an executive order for a lot of some of this immigration overhaul, there was a lot of criticism. So when I tell you that there were some portions of, the base, the Republican base that were hardcore going out for him in 2016, and then in 2020, they were upset. Part of the reason was because the immigration policy changes were not made permanent through legislation. They knew that, if there was a Democrat that came after his time in office, all they would do is simply undo the executive order. And the other part was that some of the defense of it was, well, he's doing an executive order now with the hopes that this is going to be made permanent later. But there were enough players in the House where, and I think he also, I got to admit, I think some of his people in his administration kind of got distracted after they did and moved on to other things. But this is what I'm talking about. Whenever you do something with an executive order, the next guy coming after you is going to just, he can just undo it with an executive order. But see, to that point, though, Biden could just redo it with an executive order. So you can't sit here and say that he can't do anything. I mean, at least the policies that were under the Trump administration in an executive order were good policies that were aimed at reducing the deluge coming across, from Mexico. So you can't have it both ways like that. They can't do both. So it was just weird watching him kind of shuffle around there. The Biden administration still hasn't talked to the Riley family. They haven't talked to the Riley family at all. Not at all. Now, I wanted to play for you this. This is Democrat Senator Chris Murphy. Chris Murphy is Nancy Pelosi's kind of like a tack dog in a way. He was always like part of her clique. But I want you to listen to how Chris Murphy tries to swing this back around with the border supplemental. Listen to this.
Well, I mean, first of all, this invasion rhetoric is just absolutely disgusting. It's xenophobic. It's racist. Go to Ukraine. You see what an actual invasion looks like. This is, somebody who dodged the draft, who has no idea what an actual war looks like.
Wait, what? Oh my gosh, that's so goofy. So it's Chris Murphy, Senator Chris Murphy. What an invasion looks like. Okay. He says that it's xenophobic and racist. Does he realize that a lot of the criticism is coming from actual immigrants who came here legally? I mean, in fact, they've been the biggest, those Americans have been the biggest critics of this. It's so he, so Chris Murphy believes that simply by way of demanding that people follow the law when they're entering a country, that you are, that is prejudiced against them because they're expected to follow a legal, to enter illegally. So expecting someone to follow the law when entering a different country is a demonstration of some of prejudice against that person. Does he even know what xenophobic means? I feel like some of these dudes heard a word and they just started using it crazy, like crazy, just did it without even knowing what it means. Xenophobic has nothing to do. Xenophobia has nothing to do with expecting people to respect the laws of the land when upon entering the country. That's not at all. That's not what xenophobia is. That's a promotion of stupidity. Using words like that as political weapons that have no application to the motive and intent you're describing. I can't stand people who try to dumb down language because they want to get a jab in. It makes you look like an ass. It makes you look like an illiterate one on top of it. That's not xenophobia. Are you a bigot because you expect people to enter your home legally? Are you a bigot because you think that you have the right to expect someone enter your home upon invitation? Are you a bigot because you don't want a burglar to home invade and rob you blind? Because that's what he's arguing here. In fact, you could apply that to a number of things. The expectation that one is supposed to follow the law if they are coming from somewhere else, anywhere else, that's, I mean, good heavens. So is it bigoted that the murderer of Miss Riley in Georgia, that murderer should be held responsible? Is that xenophobia? Because that's what he's arguing here. That's how stupidly you can apply his bad logic. Or what about the murder in the Molly Tibbetts case? Or the Kate Steinle case out in California? Good grief.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Wow, I'm so shocked over this headline. Global freedom has dropped sharply in 2023, according to a study. Really? Democracy faced sharp, widespread setbacks across the world. I know, who's in charge of this stuff? I wonder. Oh my goodness. They noted some Chinese areas. They noted, let's see, the biggest gain, though, was in Fiji. They gained 7 points on the freedom scoring thing, whatever. It's kind of, Fiji's beautiful. Apparently, this is hysterical, and I just could go on for this for the rest of the show. 55% of Latino Protestants support Christian nationalism is what Axios says. Now, can I just say that's a smear of these people? Because to believe that your rights are God-given and not in the jurisdiction of a courtroom created by men is not Christian nationalism, you illiterate, cousin-loving morons. That's not what Christian nationalism is. And if you guys want to have a fight with the Latino and Hispanic community, you want to sit here and tell them that they're Christian nationalists because they go to church and they think that their rights come from God and not man? Please go have that fight. We here at the Dana Show are going to pop some popcorn and watch you get your A-double snakes whooped into a hole in the ground. So please, for the love of all things holy, I am so here for that fight. Kane, are you here for that fight?
I'm here.
Half of you is here for that fight. The other half is going to be, you know, fighting them. Yeah.
We both can be.
You're a Christian nationalist.
We're 100% now.
Yeah, look at that. And Juan's a white Christian nationalist. Who knew? Juan's totally
right.
White now. Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
That's, you know, but that's what they're... That's what the... Those are the rules. Our brother Sergio, right? White adjacent.
Right.
Telling you. That's how it is now. Those are dim rules. Dim rules, though. This is weird. Parents are warned over a popular toy robot. I don't even like them as toys. That malicious actors can use like, to hack it and steal... get into the account and, like, spy on you. This is a British firm, a cybersecurity firm, and they're looking at this popular toy robot, and it looks cute. It's this little, it's like a cross between a smart speaker and a smartphone tablet on wheels, and it has a little cartoon like face, and you know, it's basically like a robot that you can put a little iPad in. It's kind of what it looks like. But they say that the system is gullible, and anybody with a robot ID can get lots of personal information on you, like literally everything. I mean, they can hack the dang thing and they can spy on you. And that's, I just don't like that stuff. You don't need no robots up in your house. Stop it. I'm not reading the humpback whale story because I don't have enough time to break that down. Oh, and the biggest storm of the winter is set to bury parts of the Sierra Nevada with over 100 inches of snow. That's like 10 feet. Oh my gosh. They said it's a blizzard that's going to last days and it's going to just blast them with snow this weekend. There could be a lot of travel shutdowns. So it's going to be over the Sierra Nevada range. And, oh man, I'm looking like Echo Summit could get up to 10 feet. That's crazy. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Gold Co. Precious metals. The gold IRA field can kind of seem really overwhelming and confusing. And finding a company that you can trust and understand isn't an easy task. You need to turn to the folks at Gold Co. Because adding gold and silver as a hedge against inflation is always a good idea. They have a free 2024 gold kit, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. One of their unique qualities is their education first position and the thoroughness of the information that they provide. They have this one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and it explains the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. They have great zero complaint record, unmatched customer service, and this is an important part of your overall retirement and savings, and they want to help you. No pressure, and you can ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. danalikesgold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Well, first of all, let me say that we don't use the term illegal immigrants. I actually issued a policy in the Department of Homeland Security. We use the term non-citizen to respect the dignity of every individual as a preliminary matter.
I'm short-circuiting right now because all of a sudden I'm full of insults. Give me a second, guys. It's Friday. Give me a second.
I'm sure his policy fixed a lot of things.
It's taken everything I have, Kane. We'll all get fired. We'll all get fired. They'll shut all of our affiliates down.
This is where some Enya, which we can't do on the stream.
Yeah, because they'll find us. Now I'm going to get mad again. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, this would be the time to do it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to get one of them squeezy things. The little thingy.
Stress ball?
But the little eyes go beep, beep, and they pop out of it. It doesn't sound
like
that.
So you feel
like
you're really hurting something?
Well, it just, you know, it's a payoff immediately. Right. You know, like you squeeze the thing and its eyes, bleep, it just. That's Alejandro Mayorkas. It's Friday. Can we just be weird today? Can I tell you something? Do you ever meet people? Please do not interpret this as me sounding like a bee. Although it does. I'm not going to lie. Do you ever meet people and you look at them and you're like, I would have picked on you in school. Like, I totally would have. Do you ever do that? Do you ever meet people and you're like, oh, yeah, I'd have totally picked on you in school? Yeah.
That's only you, I think.
No, it's not. You think of it, shut up. You're so mean. Okay? All of you out there listening, all of our friends, you guys have done this. Stop lying.
No, it's true. I'm just giving
I can hear a couple of you going, no, I've never done that. I am an
Friday
angel.
Fun.
Adjusts Halo. You people I'm not talking
but no,
to.
No, I totally relate to that.
See, he's like one of those kind of dudes. He gets up there and he's like, we don't use the term illegal immigrants. We use the term non-citizen. Well, you're a non-male. And respect the dignity of every individual. Well, you respect that dignity. I mean, I can't right now. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to sit here and be lectured and castigated by this guy. Oh, newcomers. Newcomers. Oh, look at these lads. It's like a Ricky Gervais joke that's like come to life. Oh, just you lads in. Let's all go. Oh, look at the newcomers. Hello. I don't know why I turned British all of a sudden, but you guys get the point. What in the world?
They're all fighting age men coming over. And they want you to think it's xenophobic to recognize that and criticize it.
That's like if somebody in a ski mask breaks into your house and you're like, oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. You've got a, you know, it's just a newcomer. Well, yeah, don't be xenophobic. You know, don't be like, my house is the best. You can't think that. Xenophobia. We live in a simulation. I am positive that something happened to all of us. And we live in a simulation. Aliens are real. And we are their entertainment. We're like their Bravo TV. The Real Housewives of Earth. That's what this is right now. And we're all housewives. The Real Housewives of Earth. Oh, newcomers then. Woo. We don't use the term. Can I hear this again? I want you to look how smarmy he is. I'm sorry, Juan. I want you to look how smarmy he is in his smarmy little smarmy face. Trying.
Well, first of all, let me say that we don't use the term illegal immigrants. I actually issued a policy in the Department of Homeland Security. We use the term non-citizen.
Sir, you solved all the crimes at the borders. It's time for a medal. And then like the horns play and, you know, the rise of the podium comes up and the flag drops and the lights dim, spotlight on the podium. And here comes Alejandro Mayorkas. You just won a citizenship award. You stopped all the crimes. Look at you. You changed the world. Can you believe Alejandro Mayorkas stopped all the crimes at the border because he stopped using the term illegal immigrant and he used non-citizen cartels all across Mexico and Central and South America laid down their arms today and all shook hands and set their drugs on fire. No more are we going to sell drugs to stupid Americans, they said, because Alejandro Mayorkas uses the term non-citizen. It's happened. Can you feel it?
So he issued a policy on that, but not about closing the border.
No.
No.
No. About the language.
It's weird.
About the language. You know, because this is how it works. So like, say you're, you know, going to try to sneak across the border. And the moment that you get in the United States, you can't see it. But it's like something magical happens. And I'm trying to give you a reference that is something that you will know and not the video game reference I was going to use. But something magical happens, right? Like little asterisks and stuff appear in the air above their head, right? Little golden asterisks start going off because something magical has happened. Once they enter the United States, no, they are not illegal immigrants. Nay, they are non-citizens. And then they said, wow, we just got this gift of dignity. We're going to go back. This is mean. We're not going to come in illegally. We're going to go back. And then they all turned around and went back to Mexico. Wow. True story. Does he think that's what's going to happen? We use the term. Oh, do you now? We use the term. Oh, my gosh. What a smarmy jackwagon. I look at me, teacher. He is so pick me. He is such a pick me, dude. Oh my gosh. Look at me, teacher. We use the, this I find, no, it's actually not legally correct. You can sit here and issue whatever little edict you want to, but illegal alien is actually the correct legal term, and not just in the United States either, by the way. Just so you know. Respect the dignity of the individual. What about the individual respects the dignity of a state sovereign, of the sovereignty of a state, of a country, or the sovereignty of a border state? Or why don't you respect the dignity of the citizens that have to deal with the fallout consequence of your illegal action of entering illegally? What about respecting the dignity of Americans? My gosh, would you look at this? You're called racist and xenophobes and bigots and Christian nationalists and all this other stuff. But I'll be damned, you come across here with a package of fentanyl, you're just a newcomer. You're just a non-citizen. So if I, can I go in like a, into like a Macy's or like a Blooming, the Nord Stream pipeline. Let's talk, you know, KJP. Yes, I know it's Nord Stream. She said Nord Stream pipeline. I like that better. Can you just go to Nordstrom and like take something and walk out? Where's your receipt? Well, it's undocumented. Mm-hmm. This is an undocumented acquisition. No, you stole it. No. It is an undocumented acquisition, sir. Talking to the loss. This is me talking to the loss prevention officer. Because it's not theft. It's just undocumented. Right? It's an undocumented acquisition. I like this.
I say we expand it. Like, expand it as far as it can go. How about stop using the term illegal guns? All we need to do is just call them undocumented wireless hole punchers.
That's right. No, this is just undocumented. It's
it's acceptable.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, you don't need, I do. I'd like that a lot. It's just, I now want to get a 3D printer, or I want to get parts and make a firearm and not serialize it. No, it's just undocumented.
That's right.
And just start selling them, which is against federal law, but not if it's undocumented.
Just non-documented.
Gosh, there's so many laws I don't want to follow. Gosh, I can think of so many right now that I don't want to follow at all whatsoever. I mean, just think of the everyday stuff that you have to get documentation for. No. I don't want to get... No, I'm not doing that anymore. Undocumented. Hey, if they can not follow the law... Then surely I don't have to. You know, one day some like Charlie Day bird law expert kind of dude is going to show up and like actually litigate this. I'm just waiting for that day. I'm waiting for that hero. Right. This makes me so mad. We don't use the term. He's going to get some sort of citizenship award. He could probably bend over backwards and kiss his own backside. In fact, I bet he does. He seems like that dude. I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd here, Ringo. All right, so a few other things. I don't know where this is. Where's this thing? This is Rep Overdorf. I put this in Slack and I didn't even care. Because it's just, I put this in our audio last night. This was a guy, Representative Overdorf. This is in
Florida,
thank you. So they had like what, like a town hall or something? Yeah, Audio 720, they had like a town hall. Now, you guys remember, and I should pull up my Farrago. You guys remember the whole It's Ma'am guy, right? So this is like the 2.0 version of It's Ma'am. So this dude, I guess you were supposed to know that he was a woman because he was wearing a scarf.
Oh.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Oh, is that a thing? Is that what it does?
Yeah, I mean, but don't use accessories or other characteristics like that to judge women, but you absolutely have to use it to judge women if a man wears it and says they're trans, but whatever. So anyway, this is the It's Ma'am 2.0. This is this dude talking to Representative Overdorf. It was some town hall thing, and I just thought it was entertaining. Listen.
Y'all weigh the freedoms of your constituents with the fact that we haven't had another mass shooting in Florida since Parkland, since we passed
you,
these gun reforms.
Thank you, sir.
It's Ma'am. Thank you.
It's Ma'am. I loved Overdorf's look. That needs to be a gif. Because right when the dude goes, it's Ma'am, Overdorf just looked up like, for real? And he didn't make a big deal of it, but he just looked up, for real? Really? Okay, whatever.
Excuse me, it's Ma'am.
It's Ma'am.
It is Ma'am.
Well, goodness. All balls and no strikes. You were supposed to know that dude was a woman. Because he had a scarf on. I just thought those were man boobs.
I'm going to need more than that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little more too. Like, I'm just going to need you to just show me. You know? From the show me state. Come on.
I don't think I need that much.
No. Show me.
I just need more than a scarf. That's all I'm asking.
Don't insult my dignity. I get an award. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Well, the Supreme Court won't hear oral arguments until the end of April. Now, I just, you know, just let's look at a scenario where the Supreme Court says, yes, he has that. He has all those rights. He is immune from everything.
Yeah.
You know what Joe Biden could do since he is presently president?
What?
Whoa. He could throw every Republican in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, he could. I mean, this is not
because
a good
thing.
He could do anything.
Who are the people that were like, oh, yeah. And the audience clapping, and Whoopi had to go, no, you morons, it's not a, sort of. Then she realized it made him look bad. Good heavens. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lashley with you. That was the schmoo, The View. I don't watch it except to make fun of it with if I see cuts online. Does anybody watch that show? Who watches that show anymore?
The type of people that you heard applauding to that comment?
Who applauds that? Who does? I don't even know. Oh, my goodness. I was reading this piece about Washington Post. Catherine Herridge, they're holding her in contempt because she won't reveal a source. The press advocates are alarmed. They really, like all of a sudden, it's like, are some people in the press realizing that this administration, just like when Joe Biden was VP, that they weren't actually friendly with the press? What? You guys just wake up? Good morning, sunshines. Hi. You didn't know this? They said that Herridge was held in contempt yesterday. She's being ordered to pay $800 a day until she reveals the source for stories that she wrote about a Chinese-American scientist, Yenping Chen. And they said she learned about this. It was a federal investigation into Chen. Chen operated a graduate program in Virginia. And she was never charged. Chen wasn't. She apparently lied about her military service and whether her school's database could be accessed from China. And after those stories apparently brought the investigation into her to the forefront, and she sued the federal government saying Herridge had been given leaked materials that violated her privacy, including photos and images of internal government documents. And Herridge said, well, I must now disobey the order. She was not going to give her source up for that. Because sounds like Chen was acting shady, but she's not going to give, Herridge isn't going to, Herridge said just a dollar a day, and the judge didn't think that was sufficient. This is like, what, the fifth reporter that's been held in contempt since 2005. The last one was the nuclear scientist Wenho Li, and that case was settled for almost $1 million. And they had a USA Today reporter, that was in 08, and that was Army scientists and anthrax attacks and all this stuff. So there reporters do not have to disclose sources, nor should they. And, I mean, the only reason that you can even do this type of reporting is if you can protect your sources. And that's a real chilling effect. But it's interesting now to see all of these, you know, these leftists get all up in arms about this. What do you think people like myself have been talking about, even back during the times when under Barack Obama, they were wiretapping AP reporters. That's a real thing. I'm not making that up. I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not fabricating any part of it. That's a real documented thing that went to court. Or when they were spying on people like my friend James Rosen, who's a reporter, and his parents. And they tried to go at him over the Espionage Act because they didn't like it that he had reported about some missile that had been tested in North Korea. We got a whole bunch of other stuff on the way. Our second hour coming up. More of the Dana Show back after this. Stick with us. Have you ever gotten undressed only to realize that you were in front of an open window? How did that make you feel? Exposed? Vulnerable? Well, going online without using ExpressVPN is like doing that, being naked in front of a floor-to-ceiling window. And of course, there are creepers and weirdos out there who can see and record everything that you do online, even in the so-called private browsing model. So the next time that you go online in private browsing or in incognito mode, look at the fine print because you'll see that your browsing activity is actually visible to a ton of people, like your internet provider, your school, your employer. Because when you use the Wi-Fi at work or at a hotel or heaven forbid an Airbnb or even at home, the owners of the Wi-Fi can see everything that you're up to. So imagine everybody getting a look at all the stuff you've ever clicked on. Like if I go to Daily Mail and I read all the celebrity trash, people will see that and they're going to judge me when I tell them all I do is read things like Forbes or Wall Street Journal. So use ExpressVPN. It's an app that sends 100% of your traffic through their encrypted servers so your browsing history cannot be seen by anyone. It's like, you know, an actual incognito mode, you know, one that works. And ExpressVPN works on all your devices. So you can use your phone, your TV, your iPad, your computer, browse, shop, watch, download whatever you want without the entire world knowing what you're doing. I mean, I think it's important to use ExpressVPN because, you know, I care about my privacy and I'm pretty sure you do about yours as well. So make sure you protect your online activity with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana today. That's expressvpn.com/Dana to get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Dana.
But one of the things you are doing is an experimental program to provide debit cards with cash on the card. This has created an enormous controversy in the city among some taxpayers who say, why are we paying and giving out this money to these migrants? And isn't this only going to encourage more migrants to come to New York?
And the reason it's created such controversy is because how it has been reported and distorted. Here's what we're doing. We are required to feed migrants and asylum seekers, as well as everyone else in our homeless system. About 40,000 are in the homeless system that are not migrant and asylum seekers. We're required to feed them.
By whom? Well, my imagination. Who's requiring you to feed them? I mean, nobody asked for them to illegally come over here. That's like, again, me busting up into your house being like, well, I'm here. Feed me. Give me snacks. I require. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this second hour. That was Democrat New York City Mayor Eric Adams. And he says it's a smart way to bring down the cost by giving everyone free debit cards that are prepaid. And, you know, that's definitely not going to make more people want to come here. Definitely not. When you give them money and you pay for all their needs, definitely doesn't want to make more people come here. Not how that works. Wait. He's like malfunctioning. I don't know. So I would think that if you're, I know how people react with free things. Like there's a rule, a friend of mine who does like trade show stuff was saying that there's like this general rule and like with trade shows and that, like you always have to have like a free shirt or a free pin, you know, free tote bag to get people to go to your booth. People love free stuff. Even if it's like a little free pin, that's the thing. People love everywhere. People love free stuff. You turn that into prepaid debit cards. You turn that into three hots and a cot. I mean, my gosh, of course you're going to get more people that want to come to New York because you're giving them, you're paying for everything and not just for one person. Like they're paying for entire families. You stay in a hotel. You have literally everything taken care of. They arrange for you to get medical care. They arrange for your kids to get in school. And then he acts like, well, we're required by whom? Who is asking you to do this? That seems like that's a really bad excuse. That is a really bad excuse. So that's Mayor Eric Adams. And he's, I don't know, I just don't see that. How do you get mad at Texas Governor Greg Abbott for sending people to New York? He's not sending people to New York. People are telling, because he can't just randomly send them and, you know, pick a place on a map. They ask people where they want to go and then they send them. And there's tons of video of all these people. Where do you want to go? Where are you going? Oh, New York, New York, New York, New York, New York. All of them. Everybody say New York. Everyone wants to go to New York. Well, I wonder why. And then Eric Adams. It's like that meme of somebody riding a bike and then they put a stick in the spoke and they fall off it. And they're like, damn, Greg Abbott. You're doing this to yourself. You're literally giving free. You're paying for. You're doing more for illegal aliens than you are for actual citizens. And then you can't. And then you're mad at Abbott. That doesn't make any sense. That's so dumb. That's dumb. So this is. They're just going to get more people. I don't see any other way around it. They're just going to get more people to go to New York. That's it. A few other things that I want to hit at. We were talking about Biden's border visit and how it really just, it didn't look well at all. He looked silly and he shuffled around. He didn't look healthy. He was shuffling around. It was just bad all around. And Jill's really having to amp up helping to save him. I don't know what he's going to do about Michigan. And I don't know what Kamala Harris is doing. I guess she's been, recruited into this women's initiative. Did you guys hear about this? So this is AJC Politics. Jill Biden is launching a program to mobilize female voters in Atlanta. Well, you can't even define what a woman is, so it's probably just a bunch of chicks with, well, you don't even know what a woman is. Can't even define it. It's a national organization. She's launching it today in Atlanta, and they're mobilizing women behind President Joe Biden to hold him up so he doesn't fall over. It's the Women for Biden-Harris Initiative, and they're making stops in battleground states like Arizona, Nevada, and Wisconsin over the weekend. They want to mobilize women volunteers, and they want to have these female surrogates, and they want to focus on Biden's support for abortion and gun control and other key proposals, and that's what they're looking to do. So they, is March Women's History Month? Jeez. Do you all get a history month?
Guys?
Yeah.
Let me see.
You get one? Oh, no, that's right, because you guys are supposed to be toxic or whatever. So it's stupid. Oh,
apparently MTV wrote about this back in 2016. Here's why there's no Men's History Month.
Let me guess. It's dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. About,
yeah.
There's some petitions out there for a Men's History Month, but
well, they're taking advantage of Women's History Month.
Right, but if most men are like me, they don't
notice care. How none of the Democrats' Women's History Month stuff, none of them ever talk about how they fought against women's suffrage. Like, they literally did. They all opposed it. Women have the right to vote because of Republicans, not because of Democrats. That's fact. I knew that even in high school. They tried to tiptoe around it, but Democrats have always been on the wrong side of, you know, everything. I mean, Civil War and the promotion of slavery, Democrats wanted it. The trail of genocide with indigenous Americans, it was Democrats. The Japanese camps, yeah, it was Democrats. I mean, seriously, everything that's bad, they've been on that side. How do you get away with being like, we support women? Except when we didn't want them to vote. So they are taking advantage of Women's History Month and they're trying to mobilize this. Now they had I don't know what they're, because they're not really doing, the White House isn't making Biden available for person to person, like one-on-one sit downs with members of the press and Biden. I think Seth Meyers was like the only thing, and that didn't have very good ratings. Washington Examiner said that nobody watched it, that it was a drastic ratings drop amongst younger viewers that I did not even know that Seth Meyers had. They said that they brought in, we have millions of listeners across the country a day. Okay, that's measured and measurable. The interview that Joe Biden did with Seth Meyers brought in just over 850,000 viewers. It was 32% fewer, 32% less than the day before. Yeah. So they're trying to mobilize and they hope to get young women out and all this other stuff. I don't know. And so they're going to get Kamala out there with Jill. Georgia is an important state. And that's why that's why Biden's been focusing a lot of time on it. And I got to tell you, Republicans didn't help themselves in Georgia either. I just remember the special election when we were down there the Senate seats down there. That's how we ended up losing the Senate, because there were Republicans telling other Republicans to not vote. And in Marjorie Taylor Greene's super conservative district, there were fewer voters who turned out for that than almost anything. It had like a record low turnout. And we ended up losing the Senate because of a lack of Republican turnout entirely. And I will never forget. I've never seen anything like it. I was at one stop. I mean, it was just literally going around the state and talking to people and encouraging them to vote. And people were like, well, we're just, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. You know, we're just not going to vote. I'm like, you have to overwhelm the left. Stop thinking that you're, you know, and I told people, I said, look, because I was frustrated. I said, if I were on the left, I would literally infiltrate the right. I would get your confidence and I would tell you to not vote because your vote doesn't count. I would make you steal your own vote for me. That's what I would do. And that's exactly what Democrats did. So they're going to these swing states. So they don't care about you broads that aren't in swing states. Forget you chicks. They're going to the swing states. Those are the only broads that matter. And so they're running on, great, abortion and gun control. Wonderful. I wonder if you said, well, we'll do abortions with guns. Then they'd probably be against gun control at that point. It's true. I mean, when you think of like what happened to the infants, that's why so many of them are in October 7th. That's why so many of them have been defending Hamas. Anyway, it's true. You guys know it's true. So they're going to these swing states. And I don't know. Is that going to work? Does Jill Biden have that kind of sway? Si se puede. Does she have that kind of sway? You got, how does she say bodega again? I cannot say it wrong. It's like bogada. Bogota? Yeah. Is that what she says?
Bodega.
Bodega. She almost makes it sound like she's getting close to the capital of Colombia. She is so off.
Yeah.
Do you think that she is... Is she going to try to... Does she have any shine to give Joe?
Shine?
You know what I mean? Like, does she get any popularity she can lend over to him?
I'm not seeing it. I mean,
who's out there going, well, I was unsure, and then Jill Biden came and told me about abortions, and so now I'm all in. Who thinks like that?
I think the media and Jill herself has actually already worn out that whole doctor thing. So
yeah, because it's like she's not like a doctor.
No.
I hate that. It's a vanity plate. I think it's I guess some of you are going to get so mad at me, and I don't care. If you're not rearranging guts, it's a tax on stupidity. You know I'm right. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad. Shh. I can feel the rage. Don't get mad at me and change the dial, or if there's no dial to change anymore. Don't do it. Stop it. Hands off. So, I don't know. I don't think this is going to work for them, but they're going to try. They're going to pull out all the stuffs, you guys. This is some of the stuff that we got coming up here to dive into. The latest with the border stuff, obviously. The State of the Union is next week. I am blissfully going to miss it. Actually, I'm not going to. I'll probably like check in, but they've figured out who's going to deliver the Republicans' response to the State of the Union. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into some of the latest with, like, for instance, the Rust trial or the Rust investigation. Apparently, check this out. There's set footage that shows Alec Baldwin was rushing the crew through everything. Dude, it looks bad. We're going to talk about this as well here coming up as we move our partners in whatever this was Our friends at Kel-Tec, the sub-2K. Before you go, well, I've heard about the sub-2K. I've got, no, you don't. You don't have the Gen 3 version. I promise you, you don't. You got the Gen, you got what I do. It's like when you fold up your gun, your 9mm carbine, you got to take all your optics off and everything else. You don't have to do that with the Gen 3. It's like magic. You bippity-bobbity-boo the thing in half. And it folds up in half and just as quickly and easily deploys as well. Simple twist and fold motion of the patent-pending rotating forend in either direction. Folds it up nice and neat. But that was just one of the upgrades they've made to this. They have the upgraded aluminum trigger. They redesigned the mechanics. You got a light and 5-pound pull. And that provides more precise feedback, improved accuracy, and follow-up. It's nice. Upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action so you can rack it easy, ambidextrous bolt hold open. You got a new chamber indicator, all kinds of stuff from Kel-Tec, the Made in America family-owned company that you know and love. You can learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3 at Reed Sub-2000 at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So now they say that obesity is a greater risk to global health than hunger for the first time. They said 1 billion people, and America's not even the worst country, they're overweight. And that's completely... I just remember hearing, like, all growing up that, oh, gosh, world hunger, world hunger, world hunger. One of the, one of the books that I read in college, The Myth of World Hunger, and it talked about how really that's not actually the case. It's, you know, but now we're seeing some proof of this. They said that, yes, obesity rates amongst youngsters quadrupled globally between 1990 and 2022. The U.S. ranks 10th highest for men, 36th highest for women in the world. Look at that. Just saying. That's, also, let's go down here. Oh, some Ukrainian troops filmed a disc-shaped UFO hovering over a war zone. What?
Real.
Yeah. And one of them said, what is this? Why isn't it moving? Should I ram it? Like, they were... And then it just, like, immediately just zoomed off. It's weird looking. It's weird. And they said that the UFO, the thermal imaging suggests it was warmer than its surroundings. And they said it was drones out. They said that whether the details of it still are a mystery, but they said they think it was kind of around 30. It was near this drone, near where they were fighting. The dialogue in the video, they're going back and forth. Is it a UFO? Is it like some sort of like enemy spy plane? What is it? But the way it moves is really, really, really odd. Let's see. Microplastics are found in every human placenta tested in a study. Wait, do you believe this or is this like...
I mean, if they found it, they found it. Yeah. There's no reason to lie about that.
Microplastics have been found in every human placenta tested in a study. Do you remember when they told us to everybody drink water bottles? Everybody drink water. And now it's, oh no. They analyzed 62 placental tissue samples and found that the most common plastic detected was polyethylene, which is made, guess what? Plastic bags and bottles. Microplastics in all 17 human arteries tested. And they said that they actually think that the particles are linked to clogging of the blood vessels. And they've discovered microplastics in human blood. Stop drinking out of water bottles. I don't drink out of a water bottle. I don't care if people make fun of me. I'll have my Stanley or off-brand Stanley or whatever. Because some of them Stanleys are stupid expensive. I ain't spending all that. I just want a dishwasher-safe item. All right. This is a Florida story, so I'm not gonna touch on that one. But I don't want to touch on this one either. The humpback whale one.
No, you don't have time.
You found this headline.
You don't have time.
I'm gonna make you read it. The next headline segment. No. Kane is gonna share next headline segment. No. A story about a humpback whale love story. No. I'm not gonna forget it. He'll share it. Stay with us as we move our partners for this portion of our program. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. The best coffee that you can get. I'm really into the Tactus Squatch right now. That is my jam. And I get my coffee shipped for free to my doorstep, not just because I'm special, because I am, because I'm a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club. And when you become a member, what you do is you select whatever roast or roasts you want, your frequency of shipment, and it's shipped right to your porch with no shipping fees. You're never going to run out of your favorite brew again. It takes good coffee and makes it affordable. And you get 30% off of your first subscription order with code Dana. Veteran-owned coffee company that employs active duty and retired veterans. And they bring the beans in. They roast them 5 days a week. They don't white label it like everybody else does. They actually develop these roast profiles themselves, and they roast it. And that's why the coffee is so good. They have Thin Blue Line, which supports law enforcement. They have it's a medium roast. They got AK-47 Espresso, the Freedom Fuel. Like I said, the Tacti Squatch, Silencer Smooth. There's all kinds of good stuff. They also have kettles and grinders and mugs and all kinds for the perfect cup of coffee. So visit BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana, the official coffee of The Dana Show and The Dana Household. And join Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Save money on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. It's BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The idea there's no such thing as climate change. I love that, man. I love some of my Neanderthal friends who still think there's no climate change.
He has Neanderthal friends?
So you're a Neanderthal if you don't subscribe to their partisan theory about wealth redistribution? That's what it is. I mean, we all know this. If you really want to secure the border, send Republicans down there to start registering people to vote. The moment people come over, hola, and then have everybody come over, register to vote. Let's do it. I mean, I'm not saying I would do that if I, you know, was running things in the RNC, but, you know, I like to win. And people have gotten pretty mad at me about, they're like, you're Machiavellian. No, I would, though. I would send Republicans down there and just start registering all these people to go and vote Republican. And then they'd shut it down in a second. They'd shut it down in a heartbeat. I'm going to switch gears here. Because there was this, one of the stories we were watching, I had this on the prep list, if you get that email. This is this story, the Alec Baldwin Rust trial is going to be coming up. The Hannah Gutierrez Reed, her trial, she's the armorer. That's the person who deals with the weaponry for props. So you have your prop master, and then if you have weapons on set, you have your armorer. And they're responsible for making sure that you know, it's, there's not live rounds and, you know, that it's safe, right? That it's set safe. And there were a lot of new rules and regulations that were implemented after Brandon Lee was shot and killed while filming The Crow, which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen stills from The New Crow, but oh my goodness, not in a good way. Anyway, so this 24-year-old, I think her dad was an armorer too. And one of the things that Lorraine had noted is that she was, you know, kind of a little arrogant, like was kind of a, you know, kind of a, thought she was kind of hard and tough, you know, and all that, but apparently was not a very good armorer. But still, Alec Baldwin hired her. He's the executive producer. The executive producer makes those decisions on a set. And now it comes out that she was rushing around to put, and this is a Variety piece, so this is from Variety. Variety reports that she was rushing around putting blanks into the gun because he was rushing everyone and he was getting impatient. And he was yelling at the crew, one more, right away, let's reload. And he was, you know, he was rushing everybody. And so his armorer, the 24-year-old, hurried out there to put more blanks in his gun. And in the video, Variety notes that Baldwin was visibly impatient. He said, here we go, come on. We should have two guns and we're both reloading. Because she's being charged too, along with him. Her trial is now, his trial is supposed to come, I think, in April. I think it's when his trial starts. And, July. His trial's in July. Hers is right now because she's being charged essentially with the same thing. They're both charged in the criminal negligence, accused of criminal negligence in the death of their cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. And they obviously know he pulled the trigger. He's the executive producer, which I don't think people understand how much weightier that is. When you're the executive, not only is he the star of the film, but he's running the set. And he's making the decisions as to who gets hired, how the set works, the safety on the set. And one of the things that's being buried is how a lot of the people on the set had already lodged complaints about what they said was the safetiness of the set. They thought it was they were questioning the safetiness of the set. And that was something that was in the lead up to her being shot and killed. We talked to, I think this was a couple of years, what was it, a year ago? Gloria Allred, maybe it was over a year ago. She was representing one of the script writers on this film. And they were saying that with Alec Baldwin, he was not even supposed to be handling that day a firearm. And he just was, the intimation was that he just kind of like changed things on the fly. And it led to kind of a chaotic set environment, which is a bad way to run a set, especially one where you already have members of the crew concerned about the safetiness of the set. And apparently he had hired this 24-year-old armorer who didn't really have a lot of experience to handle it. And when you have an armorer, that armorer, that is their jurisdiction. And you hire an armorer for their expertise, not just with weaponry, but how to handle it and also safetiness with it as well. But then you have to think, well, you know, do you think that this Gutierrez Reed girl is going to, she's 24 years old. Do you think that she's going to go to the 60-year-old executive producer and star Alec Baldwin and say, knock it off, you're going too fast? It's like he set himself up to be unopposed as an executive producer, which is one of the things that I was thinking of, why he hired someone. Because most of these armorers they've been in the business for a while. And I also wondering, was he cutting costs? That was the other thing I was thinking of, because he didn't, you know, have to hire someone with a lot of experience. I don't know. But these videos, they said, I mean, there's tons of lapses in safety. I haven't seen them. Variety did. And they had the prosecutors playing them for one of the people that was on the stand. Brian Carpenter's this veteran armorer. And he's the state's expert witness in this case. And he's like, yeah, there's tons of lapses in gun safety. Like they're flagging everybody, walking around with their gun, just flagging everybody on the set. And they had zero muzzle discipline. They said that they're walking around with their shotgun, you know, pointed at everything. I mean, it's just, they handed a gun to a child actor. And the armorer didn't intervene at all or do anything. And that's something too, that is her responsibility. When you see those practices, and especially they were seeing it on video, as the armorer, that is your responsibility to intervene and do it. And that's a separate issue from what's at hand, because the bottom line, Hannah Gutierrez Reed didn't pull the trigger. Alec Baldwin did. Alec Baldwin hired Hannah Gutierrez Reed. And she had the ultimate jurisdiction. She had the jurisdiction here, but he had the ultimate jurisdiction. And if he had known anything about gun safety, if he would have seen that and saw that she hadn't intervened or even, and I wonder honestly if she had even been told whether or not to stop, or excuse me, whether or not she needed to intervene. Because if you're seeing that and you're the executive producer and you're seeing somebody walk around with these unsafe practices and you don't go, where's the armorer at? Why is there no intervention? And then you don't do anything either. Like, what in the world? And I'm wondering if some of this too was part of some of the complaints from the crew on this. They had zero. They were rushed the whole time. One of the things that I had read, so they were out in New Mexico and they were taking the cast and they were having the cast go, they were still on location, but go offset to, you know, fire the guns and get an idea of what it felt like to actually squeeze the trigger, what the recoil felt like, so they could incorporate that in to their performances. And I get that. You wanted to look, you know, if you have somebody who's never fired a gun before and they're supposed to mimic recoil, they're not going to have any idea. You know, they usually it's wildly exaggerated if they don't know. But here's where the problem was. And I wrote about this back when it happened, because this was one of the other things that came up immediately in the wake of this. They would take the firearms and then live rounds, and they would go and they would fire them, and they would, you know, off offset but on location. Then they would bring them all back, and they store them with all the prop stuff. That is insane. And there apparently wasn't a lot of oversight to make sure, oh my gosh, were these rounds cleared? Are the live rounds kept in a different place from the blanks? Are they, you know, how is this being? And typically the way, I mean, a lot, I think, of smaller budget films, they'll use maybe the same firearms. Although I've heard a couple of my friends, like Matthew Marsden and others who've have worked in Hollywood, did Rambo and all that, they'll just have a whole, if they're firing something and getting used to it, they have a whole different firearm that they take to the range. And then they have a similar one that's not been fired and is completely separate, stored separate, that they use strictly for set. And this just seemed like it was mass chaos. Lorraine noted that the prop master had never fired a gun. So you have an armorer. She was apparently, the prop master was apparently, Lorraine notes, an armorer on a previous film. How are you an armorer if you've never fired a gun before? And I mean, that's crazy. So that's like against, they had noted too that if the guns had blanks, then she could act as armorer on set, which is against apparently all the restrictions on all the rules and regulations of how Hollywood's supposed to operate with this, because they do have rules. They're exempt from a lot of stuff, but they have rules. This sounds like total chaos. You have inexperienced people who are not keeping a tidy set. They're not keeping props stored, and they're not separating live rounds from blanks. And then you have an executive producer who's rushing everyone and not giving anybody any time to do anything. So I think that Gutierrez Reed has a level of culpability. I'm not debating that. But the ultimate, the guy who pulled the trigger, is Alec Baldwin. And what makes it worse is, as executive producer, that's literally part of the job of an executive producer. You set the tone on the set. That's you're helping to finance it. You're bringing the money in. You are there as the liaison with the director and the film studio or whoever's bankrolling it. If it's an independent project, you're there to help secure, and as a liaison with the cast as well. Everything. You're hiring and bringing on everybody. That is your jurisdiction. You can't just be like, oh, well, no, I just didn't know any better, and blame it all on the 24-year-old. Again, the 24-year-old has culpability. But you're a 60-something-year-old veteran of Hollywood who knows how this stuff works. He just doesn't want the responsibility of it. He just thinks he can kill a woman and get off scot-free. Crazy. We have Florida Man on the way. Well, it's going to start in July. I mean, to me, it looks like an open and shut case. To me. But, you know, it's Hollywood. So we'll see how that works.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm going to start with this one. The Florida man had told deputies that he caused a crash, right? This guy caused a major automobile accident. And he ended up telling officers, it was a multi-vehicle crash in Hernando County, that, he had just used a little meth before the crash. He got a little methed up just right before the crash. No big deal. Just admit something like that. Okay. It was around 5:45 PM. Witnesses said that the man tried to drive away following the crash. Jonathan Pudelek. That's it. And they said that they watched his car jump the curb and all this stuff. And, he hit all these other vehicles in the parking lot. He's just a hot mess. He's in hot mess territory. They said he looked like he was impaired. And then he said, yes, I did use some meth. And they found the glass pipe, all this stuff in there. So, yeah, not good for him. This one, this is a smoking gun story. I've only heard about this, I've seen this in movies before.
Yeah.
A strip club patron was battered with a cash stack. A strip club patron was walloped in the face with a small stack of cash by a female worker who told arresting officers that this is the place where money is thrown everywhere.
True.
Like, but thrown, not wielded, right? They were summoned late Tuesday night to a club. I'm not going to give any of the names of those.
No.
And they said that the victim told cops that he was talking to several employees about his career, and the women were upset that he had not provided them any tips. And apparently the 24-year-old was ignorant of strip joint etiquette and said that I... What?
Strip joint etiquette.
And said that he did not see any signs stating that it was mandatory to tip. And the employees were upset that he had not thrown money at them, which was a common practice at the establishment. And a friend told police that the victim was drunk and had been talking about having a lot of money and not wanted to provide a tip. And then one of the dancers said he had been rude, and she picked up a small stack of money and hit him in the face with it. But she told the cops the cash was tossed in a non-aggressive manner. And then that's when she had the famous line, "This is the place where money's thrown everywhere." So they arrested her for battery, a misdemeanor. She had to post $500 bond.
Oh. Was that the amount that he got hit with?
I don't know. They just said a small stack of cash. I want to just the strip club etiquette.
Yeah.
So like if a girl talk, I don't know.
I'm going to need details.
Like.
So does my.
We tip whiskey, too much for things now.
Does my whiskey glass go to the left of the cash stack? Or to the right of the cash stack.
But, like, so what? Like, if they talk to you, you have to give them money?
That's the etiquette.
Like, anytime, any, like, if they look at you, do you give them money? Like, I don't even understand this.
I wonder if that's part of the etiquette. I don't know. I don't think so.
I feel like I don't want to compromise any of the dudes associated with the show, so I'm not going to ask any of you to provide any expertise. But it's just weird to me. I didn't even know that that existed. I'm thinking, I can't talk about any of this. I'm just like, if there's, usually there's an exchange that happens and someone goes above and beyond in service for you and then you get a tip. But like, is this one of those things where you go and you are at the counter and you buy a bagel and no one does anything and then they ask you to tip? Is it like that? I don't know. I'm not. We got Jim Jordan who's going to be coming up right at the top of next hour. Stick with us.
What we learned yesterday is everything that the Republicans have said for the past year and a half, 2 years, is that this Biden family is compromised and they're corrupt. We all know who the big guy is. America knows who the big guy is. It's Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, we know, and he kind of had to admit that in the testimony, which we now today, just a little bit ago, got the transcript for. That was Congressman Troy Nellis talking about the whole ongoing story of that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast in a market near you, one of our millions of listeners across the country. You can also stream the radio program, watch the video component, the simulcast, channel 3047 DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. Joining us on the phone from the beautiful state of Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. And they've been dealing with all of this. I was looking at, we've been going over, just trying to hear on break, the transcript from this hearing, but Congressman Jordan's been leading the fight on this, and he joins us now by phone. Congressman, thank you so much for your time today. We know there's a lot of demands on it. This, I feel like when I saw James Comer look really almost giddy, when talking to reporters about how he thought this closed door testimony went, it gave me a lot of hope, Congressman. It gave me a lot of hope that maybe finally we're going to get some answers and accountability and transparency on this. What are your thoughts, just off of how this went and where we go from here with this investigation into the family?
The things he said were directly contradicted by other witnesses who we've deposed under oath and evidence we've collected in our impeachment inquiry investigation thus far. Just some of the highlights in my mind were, he said he didn't recall ever dropping off his laptop at a computer store in Delaware. Well, we know you did. You signed for it. He said that the WhatsApp, the now somewhat famous WhatsApp message, "I'm sitting beside my father." He says, "That didn't happen." But if I did send that message, my dad wasn't sitting beside me. It was always those kind of answers. And then sort of a couple of key facts where his business partners testified under oath in direct contrast to what he said. One was Devin Archer said that when they were in Dubai hanging out with the CEO of Burisma, and both Archer and Hunter Biden sat on the board of that company, the CEO asked them to weigh in with D.C. and help them relieve the pressure they were under by the Ukrainian government. Devin Archer testified this past summer that Hunter Biden said, "My dad, I called my dad and I called D.C." And Hunter Biden said, "I didn't call anyone. I didn't call D.C. I didn't call my dad." Direct contradiction. So and we've had several of those things throughout. So somebody's not being square with us. And, you know, if you look at sort of the history here, you have Joe Biden, whose story has changed multiple times about, you know, what involvement, if any, he had with his son and talking to his son. The Justice Department's story has changed multiple times. But Tony Bobulinski's story has been consistent. The whistleblower story has been consistent. And so I think that sort of tells us something.
Yeah, it does. Talking with Congressman Jim Jordan on this Hunter Biden deposition. It's interesting that he says he doesn't recall dropping off the laptop, because if memory serves, I mean, he had to sign not one, but two like agreements, service agreements on that, saying that if he didn't come pick it up, then the property actually became the under the ownership of the repair shop.
Yep, that's exactly right. But, you know, somehow it's like he you know, at the start of his testimony, he read this long resume of all his accomplishments and his educational accomplishments. And no one's disputing all that. But it's like he was so you know, valuable. That's why he got put on the board of this company. And then when there's some other facts that we ask him about, well, unfortunately, I had some, you know, some problems in my life. And look, I get it. Everyone's got problems in their life. I understand that. But he couldn't remember or know that didn't happen. And it was just sort of convenient how it all. How the answers all kind of shook out.
And it sounded like as well, I think one of the remarks from one of your colleagues, Congressman, had said that he was wielding his drug abuse like a weapon and a shield. And in some instances, questioning whether, I mean, he wrote it in his book. So, I mean, you can't say that he made it up. But yeah. I mean, I think that was a very interesting point, because you can't have it both ways. On that issue. Do you share that thought? Is that how he sort of approached, you know, using that in this testimony?
Yeah, the answers are always given in a way that would be advantageous to him. I understand that. That's you know, part of what you do, I guess, when you're being deposed. But yes, that was the case. Here's one that stuck out to me too, because this is an important fact. His longtime partner, Rob Walker, we deposed him a few weeks back. And Rob Walker said, you know, he and Hunter Biden had been working on this deal with this Chinese energy company. They hadn't got it finalized. But there's a dinner at the Four Seasons restaurant in D.C. Excuse me, a lunch. And at that lunch are eight individuals from the Chinese energy company, and Hunter Biden and Rob Walker and a couple of the business partners. And Joe Biden makes a drop by, according to Rob Walker, when he testified to it. Joe Biden makes a drop by, does a quick little kind of 10-minute talk to everyone, and then leave. We asked Hunter Biden about this, and he said, "My dad never came." Well, that's a pretty interesting, like, one guy says he was there, dropped by with Secret Service, you know, because he's just been out of the White House for like 6 weeks, and he drops by and gives it. That's something you think everyone would agree on, if in fact it happened. But Hunter Biden said he didn't come. Rob Walker said, no, he was there and gave a 10-minute little short little talk and said hello to everyone. That's a pretty important fact. Because what happened 3 weeks later, $3 million gets wired to Hunter Biden and his business partners.
And then you had I loved the questioning, the $200,000 direct payment from Joe to James, from James to Joe, and where that money came from, because they were disputing that, A, that was even made in the first place, and then, B, after the story changed from, well, that payment wasn't made, okay, yes, it was, that it had nothing to do with their business. Right. I mean, clearly it did.
Yeah. Oftentimes it was like, no, this didn't happen, but if it did, it was still okay. That was sort of some of the pattern that you sent in some of the responses we got.
Well, and which completely contradicts my dad had no idea or didn't benefit or had no connection with, you know, any of the business at all whatsoever. The transcripts for this, we're talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, have been released. And I mean, I think that I'm I'm still kind of going through it because House Oversight just posted. Well, they posted it yesterday, and going through all of it. And I wanted to switch here from this because I know now that Judiciary Republicans have issued a subpoena for Mayorkas documents on the surge of illegal immigrants across the border. I wanted to play. Can we play this audio? Can Congressman Jordan hear this? I wanted to just get your reaction to this audio. Audio soundbite 9. In which Alejandro Mayorkas is saying that he made some changes, and we don't use the term illegal immigrants anymore. And I just kind of wanted, it's a short clip, I wanted to get your reaction to this. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, let me say that we don't use the term illegal immigrants. I actually issued a policy in the Department of Homeland Security. We use the term non-citizen to respect the dignity of every individual.
Your reaction to this, Congressman?
Well, I mean, they can say what they want. What we do know is whether they're migrants, immigrants, illegal migrants, newcomers, I think is the term they use, or non-citizens. Yeah. There's over 8 million who've come, and we're on pace to get to 12 million, and that's what the American people care about, on pace to get to 12 million, equivalent to the entire population of the state I get the privilege of representing, the state of Ohio, the seventh largest state in our country. 12 million people is what we're on pace for, and it's all because they intentionally, deliberately, willfully changed policies that gave us control of the border, where we had control of the border under President Trump. They had deliberately changed those policies. So they can call whatever they want. It doesn't change the phenomena that's happening, which is we're going to get to 12 million people who've come into the country claiming asylum, most of them not eligible for it, coming into the country under the Biden administration.
The documents that you have issued a subpoena for, you've noted that this was, of course, the period when DHS was actually cutting and removing this razor wire. There's video of them. Bill Malugin had it down there in Eagle Pass of them lifting up wire for people to enter illegally and crawl underneath it. And you've apparently tried to get these documents before. DHS said that you could meet with them all. But so far, that has been unsuccessful. What do you want to find in these documents?
Well, we want the facts. We want the truth. We want to know why. I mean, because let's just step back for a second. Is that maybe the dumbest thing you've ever heard? So we're going to say, American tax dollars are going to be used, Americans' tax dollars are going to be used to undo what Texas taxpayers have paid for to secure the border that we should have secured in the first place. That is like such a crazy policy. That's exactly what Joe Biden's administration is doing. So we kind of like to know about this and a host of other things that we've been trying to get. Sometimes they're about individual cases. Because here's the, when you step back and look at all in the big sense, it's like right now there is a young lady who's lost her life, tragedy that happened in Athens, Georgia, Lakin Riley, because Joe Biden's policies. And there's no other way to say this. It's like, I think the American people are so tired of all this. They want a president who did like President Trump yesterday, went down there, showed strength. They know he's willing to do what needs to be done to get control of that border. The American people see this for what it is.
Yeah. Last question for you, talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, joins us on the phone. The I know that there's the CR, which went through the House. This Ukraine supplemental, though, the idea, the proposal from the administration that, well, we'll give a pittance towards the border if you guys send, you know, more money over to Ukraine and now even to Gaza, which is, of course, obviously going to go to Hamas, which still runs the health ministry, everything else. Where does that stand in terms of perception by House members, Republicans in the House? Is this something that's going to get pushed through, or are House Republicans going to stand against this?
Boy, I hope not. And I do think there's a majority of House Republicans who are opposed to it. Now there's, I think, a majority in the House of Representatives who are probably for it, based on, you know, most of the Democrats in the House, I think, support that. And I think there's a significant number of Republicans, but I don't think it's a majority. So I hope it doesn't come to the floor, and I hope we can stop it. We should help Israel, our dearest and closest friend. But until someone can tell me what the objective is in Ukraine, what the ultimate goal is, I mean, is it to get the Russians out of the eastern kind of what's called the Donbass region? Is it to get them out of Crimea, which they've had now for 10 years? Is it? No one knows the objective. And frankly, until someone could do that, why should we continue to send American tax dollars there if we don't know what winning looks like, what a victory looks like? So that to me is the problem.
And that's a great question that I think every American taxpayer has always wondered the answer to, always wanted the answer for. And where's the money going? What has the money gone to? There's been no accountability. Congressman Jim Jordan, we appreciate your time with us, sir. We're going to be watching the fight ongoing in the House. Thank you so much for your time.
You God bet. Bless. Thanks for what you do. Take care.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Kane. Texas man accused of putting antiques up his kilt cover butt. So, we're talking about a makeup brush and an antique bottle opener. Spring, Texas.
We need to know more?
Yeah, the dude was arrested. This is an actual story. Where are you going when you're like, what are you reading? And you're like, oh, I'm going to throw this at you. Where are you at? This guy, Mitchell Vest.
I'm not really sure.
He was arrested earlier this month on charges, or last month, charges of criminal mischief. He was at two different antique shops in Spring, Texas. And he was observed placing two items in his backside and then putting them back on the shelves.
Oh. Back on the shelves.
Yeah, he's 60 years old. Yeah, the guy's 60. He apparently put a makeup brush and an antique bottle opener and a tobacco tint can up his backside. And I don't even know how that happens. How, I don't want to know. It was from Long Crime. The cost of the items was a little over $200, but they had to be thrown away because of contamination.
All right, we've exhausted all the news for this story.
He was freed on a $100 bond.
Next. What?
Did that, yeah. Did the money he paid for that come from... Yeah. Oh my gosh. New name for prison wallet. Anyway... You did it. Now they're saying that, this is so stupid, climate change could unearth Cold War era nuclear waste that the U.S. buried. I thought we put everything in Yucca Mountain. Is that what we did? I don't know. That's what I thought we did.
That's what they told us.
Yeah. That's what it, wasn't that what we learned in, was that Terminator talked about that or something?
I think it was. Mm-hmm.
So they said that noxious waste buried beneath former nuclear weapons testing sites could be unearthed by 2100 because the earth is warm, blah, blah, blah. Nobody believes us. Nobody believes it. I don't care. Two human arms and a leg were found a mile apart at a Long Island park. Good night. And joyful. Two children found the human arm on their way to school. What did you, show and tell? What did you do today? Well, I found an arm.
Biology lesson.
Yeah, they were called to the park shortly before 9 a.m., where a parent of the students, they called 911, and they spotted a left arm in the bushes. So the kids called their dad, one of the dads. The dad responded, was like, yep, that's an arm. Called 911. And then they found another arm later that evening, and then a leg. So they're just trying to figure out what's happening, what's going on. Oh my gosh, those poor kids. This police arrest a kidnapping suspect after the victim mouths help me from a speeding car. This is a wild story. This comes by way, this is in Vermont. Or no, actually took place in Las Vegas, Vermont Press. A man kidnapped his girlfriend, said she had to die, accused her of spying during a paranoid episode. And she was seen mouthing, help me. And police, they had been conducting an unrelated vehicle stop when the suspect's vehicle drove by and she stuck her head out the window and mouthed, help me, to the cops. They stopped what they were doing and ended up on a high-speed chase. And they did take the woman and they did rescue her. The suspect was arrested. They had tried to strangle and kill her. It's horrible. We have more of the show on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. A little the. In fact, this was like the favorite song of my late friend, former boss, very, very good friend, Andrew Breitbart, who passed away 12 years ago today. And I can't believe it's been 12 years. It seems insane. And for those of you who know, there for a while, when they still had all of the different individual sites, I edited Big Journalism for Andrew. And after Andrew passed, I left. It was a crazy time, and it was a super fun time. It was a time that saw the Anthony Weiner debacle, and I will never forget that. I mean, there's so many crazy stories But Andrew Breitbart was a visionary. And I think a lot of the reason why we have the digital landscape that we have today is because of his vision. And I was having a conversation. I did a space last night for my mayor, John Huffman, who's the lead candidate in Texas 26 congressional race and great conservative. And we were talking a little bit about it. And one of the things that I always admired about Andrew was he was, first off, I have never met anybody else in this industry who was as loyal a friend as Andrew was, because he very much was, he understood loyalty, and he also understood unity. He knew that the left wanted to divide the right with any means possible. If the right could fight itself and do part of the left's job for it, it made the left's job, or made their ascension to victory that much easier. And he loved, I used to joke with him. I'm like, I've never met anybody, because he was a Jewish conservative. And I used to joke with him. I'm like, I don't even know Christians that follow the book of Matthew in terms of resolving conflict the way you do. And it was kind of, you know, it was all funny because he thought, you know, and this is how he handled it. You settle things privately as best you can. And if all of that is rebuffed, then you can take it public. But you don't fight with allies publicly. He was very opposed to clout chasing for at the expense of an ally. He was very opposed to that. And I mean, he abhorred that. And today it's kind of like currency on the right anymore, because the right doesn't act the way the left does. And he always noted this. He noted this. I can't remember how many speeches he had given over the years where he said this. The left doesn't do that. The right does. And it's gotten particularly so now. There's not a lot of unity. And he wanted unity. The last big argument that we had, and we always got along, but we didn't. This was back in 2012. In 2012, Mitt Romney was the Republican nominee, presumptive Republican nominee. And I had opposed Mitt Romney vociferously. I was a token conservative at CNN, and the Romney campaign had complained about me. And I wasn't mean, I wasn't vicious, but I had criticized his health care, all this stuff, and there were legitimate criticisms. And I was very much opposed to this idea that he was a conservative or barely even a Republican. Like, the reason we have Obamacare is because Mitt Romney did it first in Massachusetts. I even had a pair of flip-flops, Mitt Romney flip-flops, because he went back and forth on so many different issues, so many different times. And Andrew, especially after Romney became the nominee, Andrew could not understand this. And he said, it's either you go to war with this guy or don't. He's like, at this point in this process, whether or not you like him is irrelevant. And in fact, his last big speech at CPAC was on this issue. And we had, right before then, had done a podcast interview where we kind of were debating over Romney. And I understand what he's saying, but I was like, I still don't care. I can't vote for him on principle. And he goes, so your principle leads you to allow a Democrat to get elected. And I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. He's like, but that's what you are saying. So he was all riled up and he was getting ready. He never had notes. He was getting ready to go on stage at CPAC, and he turned around, he pointed a finger in my face, and he's like, I want you especially to listen. Like, I'm going to give you a lesson. And then he went on and he was like, you're either with them or you're with us. And I understand the point. Now I understand the point that he was making. But, you know, 12 years ago, I was, no, you're not going to tell me anything. And I get it. And that was his entire point. At that moment in the process, there was no other alternative. There was no other alternative that was going to get you what you wanted. There was no other way, no other door, no other path to get you what you wanted. So at that point, it was either you go with the best option that you can get. And his whole explanation, which makes sense, is, and it's logical, that you realizing this is the best chance you have with this path is not a compromise of a principle. You're trying to get to a place where you can enact principle, but you're sure as hell not going to get to that place to where you can enact principle by allowing a Democrat to win. And I get it. And it was a great lesson. And on unity, I had a lot of Republicans mad at me for years after Romney. Some of them are on Fox News. Some of them are right for the Wall Street Journal and commentary and others. And they're a little more moderate, as you can imagine. And I got into a big knockdown drag out with one guy. He's an older dude. He's he writes opinion pieces. Every now and then he does TV, but he mainly writes for a specific publication. Anyway, oh, he was nasty to me. And he was raging at me. And he was like, you're such a disappointment. Because I had, up until that point, I had been critical of Romney. And I had even said, look, I agree with Andrew. I agree with what he's saying. But they couldn't forgive the fact that I had so repeatedly criticized Romney. Oh, my gosh. And this guy was going to town on me. So the last conversation that I had with Andrew, I had texted him. It was in the evening. And Andrew had gone out to have a glass of wine and a meal. And I had texted them that evening. And I said, oh, my gosh, why is so-and-so just, and this is what I texted. I said, why is so-and-so such an ass? And I shared with him what he had been, because we had been going at it on Twitter. And Andrew wrote back, he goes, well, he's actually very smart, but also an unbelievable ass to everyone all the time. Meaning, don't take it personally. Always onward. You got to realize when you give air to something and when you shouldn't. When criticism counts and when it doesn't. And most of it's noise. Always onward. Anything that takes your eye off the ball is a distraction. And it's either a distraction that isn't maliciously meant, and it's just, you know, an accidental distraction, or it's, you know, people trying to distract you to keep you from achieving the goal overall. And I will never forget, it was still dark when I got the call from one of my colleagues, because the office was based in LA, and I would go out there every now and then to help, and we had just created what the new website is now. And I had literally just, I hadn't even been back home in St. Louis, but for a few days. I'd spent a week out in LA and done radio out in LA and all of that. And came back, and just a couple of days later, got a call. I thought it was in the middle of the night. It was still dark out. And it was from a colleague who had said that he had passed. And I just couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it right ahead. I mean, when everything set in and the dust somewhat settled a bit, we're like, oh my gosh, and this is right before an election. There was an immense hole to fill after, because he was very much larger than life. But I think that he would be super pleased. And I don't need to speak for him, because he's got enough words and video and written pieces out there where his body of work can still speak for itself today, and speak for him today. But knowing him for, you know, as I did, I think that he'd be super pleased with how people are so motivated to pick up the yoke of watching and informing others of what's happening in their community, citizen journalism. But I do think that he would be disappointed by the infighting and the disunity, which is always to be expected almost in every election, but it seems particularly so now. He didn't just like glitz, and he didn't just like a veneer. He wanted substance. He expected people to pick up the phone and not just aggregate stories. You know, he didn't just do stunts. It was always the opening for something bigger. And I think that he had a high expectation and a high standard. And I think people need to remember that, particularly in conservative media, and challenge themselves to meet that. And not just on doing the good work and using critical, you know, employing critical thinking, but also on being good stewards, not just of the movement, but of each other. The disunity is ridiculous. He got along with everybody. When I first did Bill Maher's program on HBO, I knew nobody out in LA. And despite the liberal media saying she wanted to be an actress, I'm like, are you high? That's literally never anything I've ever aspired to do. I didn't know anybody in LA. And I went out there for Bill Maher's program in HBO. And I told Andrew, I'm like, well, I don't really get intimidated, but I am a little nervous because it's a hostile crowd. And he's like, no, I'm going to be there. I'm going. So he arranged. It was him, another colleague, our friend Adam Baldwin, not related to the Baldwin Baldwins, but he was Jane and Firefly. He came out and sat in the audience. He's a huge dude, so he can do that and be unintimidated. And it was funny because they had me sit closest to Bill Maher because that's where they would put their conservatives. So they had a little buffer between them and the audience. And I could see Andrew. Andrew stood at the side of the stage where you couldn't see, the cameras couldn't see him. The audience really couldn't see him. But I could see him every now and then. And it was funny because he was so animated. And he was always very supportive of his friends, of his allies. And even when they weren't very supportive in return. But he held fast to that. He always showed up and he did what he said he was going to do. And so it's been 12 years already. And it's weird because, you know, every year you just, you know, legacy history swallows, you know, swallows someone more and more as you go further and further into the future. And it's just weird. It's weird to, you know, to live in a time like that. And it's weird to live and know somebody who made such an impact and was, I think, part of, you know, American iconography, and to kind of see it as it happened and then realize how the consequence and impact of that afterwards. But I still talk to his family. They're incredibly sweet people. His wonderful sister, his wife, they're all wonderful people. And I know he's missed greatly by his family. And by his friends and by his colleagues and even people who never even met him, but they know the impact because they're living it. So 12 years ago today, rest in peace, Andrew. All right, we have today in stupidity on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this hour as well. And a quick note, if you're in the Texas area, I wanted to pull this up really quick. They have a women's range day at Texas Gun Experience, the range I go to in Grapevine, Texas, on March 9th. And it is a great event with Gun Owners of America. And they are working, it's, you know, coincides with International Women's Day. It's a ladies event. And the ticket to go includes all ammo, firearm use, range time, instruction, all of that. You can find out and sign up at gunowners.org/womensrangeday.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
But this is a Joe Biden invasion. This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years. I call him Crooked Joe because he's crooked. He's a terrible president, the worst president our country's ever had, probably the most incompetent president we've ever had.
Crooked. I took the name from Hillary, he said later, which is funny. He called, I will say what you will about him, but sometimes the nicknames are funny. Sometimes he's only had one miss, I thought, because it was just two. But Newscum, that's, I do like Newscum a lot. I'm actually very sad that I didn't think of it myself. And I feel really disappointed in myself right now. What's that? That's, oh my gosh, yes. I want to hear it. Why did I play this one instead of coming in? Yeah, Newscum. This is the best.
We had the most secure border, and people weren't coming because they knew they weren't going to get in. And we weren't promising free education, free medical, free everything. I mean, all the promises that are made, no wonder they come. I mean, you look at what this governor, Newsom from California, isn't that his name, Newsom? What he's done to California.
Isn't that his name, Newsom? Gavin Newsom. Gosh. It just works so perfect when you think of it. There was one point where he waved at some of the potential, I think they were going to cross, or were they just across the border?
Yeah, no, he was like on one side of the barbed wire, and they were on the other side of the river in Mexico.
And he was waving.
This is so funny. Watch this.
He just waves.
So listen, they say Trump. Listen. Trump! Now listen to what he said.
They like Trump. Could you believe it? They like the governor.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you can hear him. That's a powerful mic to pick it up all the way across the river like that. with all the wind and everything else. Goodness. And then look at Biden, who could barely shuffle around. I still can't get over that video. It's on my Twitter or X timeline. I mean, it's bad. Guys, it's bad. Can they stop pretending? All right, I am out next week. Taking a little bit of a break. Out next week, my brother from another mother, Sergio, will be filling in. And then Rich Zioli will be filling in as well. So treat them kindly. I got some stuff coming for you. You love Sergio. And you like Rich too. I have stuff coming for you as well if you get the newsletter. You won't get the prep email, but there's a couple of other pieces that you'll be getting you subscribers next week. So I will be back, though, after next week, taking a little quick break. In the meantime, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, this is Democrat Andrew Yang. Listen to what he says. This Cut 12, so Juan. Cut 12.
I said to a group at Harvard, I think we're one generation away from falling into the same camps as the Jews who were attacked in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. Just a couple months ago. It's like we're probably one generation away from Americans shooting up a bunch of Asians saying, like, you know, damn the Chinese because there's a giant Cold War or even more.
Fear-mongering we know and love every election year.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually dumb. And also it happened with the South Koreans in L.A. and they defended themselves. Rightfully so. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless.